Okay, welcome to our first group coaching call, everyone. So nice to be here with you. I'm seeing you all log on. Hi, Keely. Beautiful to see you here. Thanks, everyone, for joining. So the way I'm going to run the call today is I had asked you if you wanted a question covered today, if you wanted some support with something, to send it through to me. And I've got a page of questions that people have sent through. I've got a document up here with all your questions that I've collated and what I want to share in response to support you. If you're here live on the call, you can be chatting and interacting with me on the chat box. If there are additional questions that come through and we have time, I can touch on them at the end, but there is a lot to get through today with all of the questions that you've all sent through. And a lot of the questions that have come through are related to our content from last week, from video class one, around relationship with your body. Some beautiful questions come up that are taking us deeper into what we began touching on around healing this relationship, accepting our bodies, self-care, self-love, listening to our bodies, following, you know, what it's asking us to do. We've got some beautiful things to dive into. And I think even if you haven't asked a question, this is what I always find with these calls, you will still gain so much value from what I'm going to be sharing, because the themes that people are bringing up, I have no doubt you'll be able to relate to. Even if the specific question isn't related to your specific situation, the themes will be. I'm going to dive into all of that, and I will just briefly read out what the question is and then share some guidance and tools around that in response. So, Oh, we've got someone coming through on audio. Let me just mute you, my love, whoever that is. Who's here? Mute. Beautiful. As you're joining, just say hi to me. Let me know who's here. I can see your names. I can see who's here with me. So this is awesome and exciting. All right. Let's get started. I'm going to try to keep us within an hour. I have the tendency to run over time because once I get chatting, I just get on a roll. But I'm going to try to keep us within an hour today as that is the time that we've allocated. So fingers crossed. Let's see how we go. All right, first question, beautiful. So we're talking about these beautiful bodies. We're talking about our relationship with our bodies a lot today. That's going to be a big part of these questions. And one woman here has asked if I could speak a bit about on how to love, accept, and support your body during times of illness and disease. So this woman shared that she has a virus that can lead to cervical cancer. She's undergoing her third operation. And at the moment, she's feeling that her immune system isn't strong enough to get rid of this virus. She's sort of seeing and feeling that her body is weak and that her body has let her down, and she's feeling a disconnect in her body. And she said that this content we touched on last week has really started helping her and is helping her see that maybe she's not giving her body everything that it needs to fight this virus, and that she can see there's some things she can start to bring in and integrate to come deeper into her body and listen to it more. But at the moment, she's feeling that truly loving and accepting her body as it is very difficult. And she's sort of doubting her body's ability to fight this particular virus. Hi, Kelly, darling, in from Northern Canada. Beautiful to have you here. Thank you. Thank you for saying hello. Really nice to see you. I can see there's quite a few of you here. Awesome to have you all here, guys. As you're joining, at any point, if you want to chat with me in the chat box, you can just chit chat. Let me know if things are resonating with you, what you're thinking and feeling as I'm moving through the responses. So I'm going to touch on, there'll be common themes between what I share with all the questions. But where I want to begin with this is, you know, when we're in this place of feeling like our body has let us down, we're feeling disconnected, we're unable to love and accept where our body is at this time. One of the things I'm going to say to all of you who have any struggles at the moment with your relationship with your body is to look into the work of Abraham Hicks. You will hear me talk about them a lot because their work is phenomenal. And the reason that I love Abraham Hicks so much is their work is all about focusing on energetic and vibrational alignment rather than action, and really paying attention to how you're feeling rather than what you're doing when it comes to creating change. So when we want to create change in anything, right, typically our focus is, let me look at what I want to change in the external and then go about taking some action, getting in control, manipulating and moving around these circumstances so that I can create change. And what Abraham Hicks are often teaching is, you know, that's all well and good, but the issue is we're very often out of energetic alignment while we're taking that action. So we might be looking at our bodies thinking, how do I change and control and fix that? trying to get an outcome which will hopefully make us feel better, but all along the way, energetically, we're not feeling good while we're trying to take that action. Maybe we're feeling stressed, we're feeling anxious, we're feeling that there's something wrong with us, we're feeling out of control, we're feeling unhappy, and we're trying to take action to create a different feeling in us, but our energy's all out of alignment while we're doing it. And so Abraham Hicks, you know, I got into them so long ago. I can't even tell you how long I've been working with their teachings. They're a constant reminder to focus first on how we feel about something before we go in to try to take action. And I know from my relationship with my body and trying to change my body, we're very often looking at the body and focusing on that versus focusing on how we're feeling. So that's the first thing, is if you've got resistance coming up around your body, I find listening to their teachings just helps soothe that resistance. Because what resistance is you fighting against what is. And Abraham Hicks talk a lot about what is. What is your reality right now. It's what is manifested right now. And it can change, absolutely. But at the end of the day, we have what is. We have this reality right now. Eckhart Tolle talks a lot about this, that the root cause of suffering is fighting with what is. And in the class that's coming out this week, which you would have got access to yesterday, I'm talking a lot in there about acceptance. Acceptance and allowing things to be as they are, because that drops the fight and the struggle. And this is just something I want to emphasize for any of us when we're looking at something we don't want and we're sort of fighting against it. And then we're like, I don't want this. How do I fix and change this? But our energy is all out of alignment when we're trying to do that. So that's just something to look at. And how we come into alignment, and Abraham Hicks will talk about this a lot. And what I suggest you do is you can read their books. You can go onto YouTube and just Google Abraham Hicks health or wellness or body. And it will bring up videos and audios of them talking on those particular topics. And I just play them and listen to them. And the vibration of it really helps actually soothe your own vibration, I've found. But one of the key things they often teach is really about shifting your focus. So if you're wanting to create, say what you're wanting to create in your body is a feeling of health, is a feeling of radiance, of vibrancy, of ease, of alignment, of aliveness, of thriving, right? What they encourage you to do is to focus on that, to tell the story of what you want, to speak in ways, to focus on things that will bring you into alignment with that feeling. And so shifting our focus can be a really big thing that we can do that can help us alleviate some of this resistance and struggle we feel. So, for example, if we've got an area of our body that, you know, is that area, and I've got a couple of questions later that touch on this, that area that always seems to be our struggle area, that area that just automatically pulls us out of alignment and makes us feel shit about ourselves, that we really struggle to love, or if we've got an illness or a sickness. It's very easy for that area to consume all of our focus, doesn't it? It's like the one thing you look at when you look in the mirror, or it's the first thing you think about when you wake up. I know for years I struggled with my skin breaking out, and the first thing I would do when I would wake up is check my face if I had any more breakouts. It was this constant thing I would think about. And whatever you focus on expands and continues to manifest and grow. So one of the things we can do is we can really work to shift our focus onto what we do want, onto what we do want to see, onto what is going well, and tell ourselves a story of wellness and thriving and appreciation of what is going well, rather than this story we can very often tell of what isn't working, what is broken, what is flawed, and focusing on this particular illness or sickness. So actually, where possible, and I know this isn't easy work, but this is the work, is if your mind tends to go really quickly to this illness, this sickness, this story of I'm weak, I'm broken, I may not heal, I'm unwell, can you spend some time, and Abraham Hicks call it a rampage of appreciation. Or you can also, they have a practice called lists of positive aspects, where you sit down as a practice maybe each day and you celebrate and acknowledge everything that is going well about your body. You appreciate where you are healthy, where you are thriving. Yes, you may have this one illness or weak spot, but what is going well? How is your body working for you? What can you be grateful for? Where are you healthy? Where are you well and balanced and radiant? There will be places, and you can actually shift your focus onto that. That will shift your energy and cause you to radiate an energy of, I'm well, everything's okay, my body's okay, I'm okay in my body, I'm content in my body. And that different vibration actually begins to manifest different things in your life. And then when you take action from that place, all of your action then helps create more of those results. Because this is what comes out of alignment with our bodies is, you know, again, like we feel, maybe we feel like we're carrying too much weight, or we feel our body's broken or flawed. And so then we go to try to take an action, like I go to work out at the gym, but we're bringing the vibration of I'm overweight, I don't like my body, I'm unhealthy into that action. So actually doing this alignment work first to get into a place where you're feeling like you may not be head over heels in love with your body, but maybe you're like, you know what? It's not too bad today. I'm okay. There's a lot that's going well. There's a lot about me that's beautiful, and I can appreciate that. From that place of a better vibration within yourself, a better feeling space, any action you take will be much more productive and be much more effective in taking you towards whatever result you want. So that's a big thing that I really emphasize that I would say to anyone who's really working on their relationship with their body. A couple of other things. If you've got an area that's not in wellness at the moment, say for this woman's example, I would encourage you to communicate with your body and talk to it and ask it. Because as I said in that class, your body is always communicating to you. And it's trying to give you messages, perhaps around where things are out of alignment, where energy's blocked and stuck. One of the things I would mention, I think I've got someone I need to mute. Who do I need to mute here? Let me just have a look. Mute. Just want you all nice and quiet for me. Who have I got coming through here? No, I think we look clear. Beautiful. Is this resonating, guys, what I'm sharing? I hope that it is. So if we've got that part of our body, and I did this a lot when I had skin issues, when I've had tummy issues in the past, when I would get migraines, I would put my hand on that part of my body and I would do my best to communicate with it and ask it, what's going on here? What are you trying to tell me? What do I need to see or understand? Because your body's always trying to come back into homeostasis and balance. Your body wants to be well. And that's a big part of trusting it. Trusting your body does want to be well. It does want to thrive. And it's always trying to come back into wellness and balance. And if anything ever gets stuck, blocked, unwell, or not working, your body's trying in some way to come back into balance, and it wants you to work with it. So I remember a couple of years ago, I manifested this really bad stomach issue. Like, I guess you would kind of call it like an irritable bowel syndrome. It was just nasty. It was not nice. And I would tune into my tummy and I would put my hands on my belly as often as I could and just ask my body, what are you trying to tell me here through this imbalance? And I kept hearing the word leaky, leaky, leaky over and over. And I didn't really know what that meant. And I sort of unpacked it a little bit more and journaled on it. And what my body was trying to show me with it that was that my energy was leaky. I didn't have clear boundaries. I was leaking energy into a lot of unhealthy relationships. I was leaking my energy in my business. And although that tummy issue, it was related to something separate altogether. It was related to the leakiness of my energy in a lot of different areas of life. And it was manifesting through my body. And my body was energetically communicating to me around some things I needed to work on in my life. So another book to look at, and I think I put it on your resource list, is Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. She talks a lot about the mind-body connection and that the different parts of our body are related to different areas of our lives and different areas of ourselves. So when we're manifesting a condition in a particular part of our body, we can actually uncover what the message and lesson is in it for us. So that's another thing to work on. The other person I really want to recommend to you, particularly if you're struggling with some type of sickness, is Brandon Bays, and her book is called The Journey. I read her book like 10 years ago, and it was, she had a giant basketball-sized tumor in her body. And she actually uncovered that it was all old emotion that was stored in that tumor. Old emotion in her that she had not processed and healed. And she writes through the book on this, all this beautiful healing work she went through to release and work through all of this emotion. And she takes you on this process where you actually go into that place in your body where you're holding that unresolved emotion and you really go into it. And it's an intense process of releasing. She healed her tumor. It completely shrunk and disappeared through her releasing the emotional issues that were stored inside that tumor. So that's another book to read. She runs workshops all around the world teaching that. But that book was a game changer for me too. So whatever, you know, you're struggling with in your body. Yeah, Claudia, the name of the second book. So the ones I mentioned, Brandon Bays, her book is called The Journey. And the other book I mentioned was Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. Beautiful. And all of the Abraham Hicks books, any of them are fantastic. So let's also, you know, when I noticed this woman, part of her language was around, and we often do this, is she was saying fighting the virus. And I always want to encourage people to look at your language around anything you want to change and see if you can shift your language out of, say, I'm fighting this virus, or I'm fixing this issue, or I'm losing weight. Rather than focusing on sort of what the issue is, again, shift your focus to what you want. I'm in the process of creating thriving health, wellness, a perfectly balanced body, perfect weight for my body size. See if you can put your language and your intention and your focus on what you're actually wanting to create. And that again is pulling you into alignment, and it's causing you to focus on what you do want, and you're more likely to create it rather than always focusing on what you don't want. And then my final piece here is that if you know, I don't want people to feel like you always just have to be feeling positive about everything. Because yes, what we're always saying and focusing on and speaking about in ourselves is creating our results. But at the same time, if you're moving through something like an illness, if you're moving through an area where you feel there's a lot of emotion, you know, part of my teachings is always fully honor the emotion that's there, because actually, you know, feeling emotion is like a detox process, and you will be clearing and releasing a lot every time you're willing to go in and actually just get honest. You know, I feel really afraid today. I feel really worried today. I feel really disempowered today. Letting yourself release that, because the more you suppress emotion, the more it gets stuck in your body and creates blockages in your health. So I'm definitely all about clearing that emotion, but then also getting back in charge of your focus and your alignment in yourself so that you are really working on being in charge of how you want to feel and then feeling good before you take any action towards the outcome that you desire. The other thing I was going to mention here is, and this ties into what some other people have asked too, is if a condition manifested for you at a certain time, it's valuable to go back to the time when that condition manifested. I remember for me when I was having my skin issues, I had completely clear skin up until the age of 14. And I remember exactly what happened. I transferred from a coeducational public school that was very relaxed to a private girls' school where I was bullied, and it was just like torture going to school every day, and I completely shut down. I experienced a lot of shame, and my whole energy around myself changed around that time, and that's when my skin started manifesting all these breakouts. And so I've had to do a lot of healing to go back to that girl at age 14 and work with her on the trauma she experienced, the shame she began to feel about herself, the self-loathing, the way she began to question herself in ways she never had before. And I would sit with her in meditations and talk with her and work with her and send her love and understand what was going on for her at the time and give her what she needed and soothe and support her. So if you've manifested a condition at around a particular point of your life, go back into meditation to connect with that part of yourself, because that might help unlock whatever the trauma was that was locked in around that time. Oh, Claudia, literally tears, as this is my case. I've never thought about that. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I'm glad that's really resonating with you. This is just such an important mindset that our body's always trying to help us, and it is always communicating to us. Even when we feel like something bad has happened, there's always a message in there around, it's always trying to help us heal anything that's resolved, come back into balance, come back into self-love. And it might manifest some stuff in order to get your attention to say, hey, something's unresolved here. You need to come back and revisit this. Yeah, beautiful. So this also ties into what another woman has asked here around feeling there's a particular part of her body that she's really struggling with. She feels it's her stomach for her, which a lot of us struggle with. You know, we've all got our areas, right? And she said that it's always felt big for her. No matter how fit she is, that's always been her struggle area. And she said, it's been that way since I was five, since I was 5 years old, and she's now 28. She just feels like it's an area that gives her trouble, and it feels really uncomfortable to her. And she's wondering if I can offer some things from a feminine approach that will help. So again, look into the work of Abraham Hicks, because we need to look at the story that's going on around this area and where we're energetically out of alignment with whatever the result is, the outcome is you want to create. So notice how when we have a story, you know, I notice you can, as soon as you write it out, you'll see your story. Because I'm sort of trained to look for people's stories as soon as I read their questions, and I can see the story, which is, this area gives me trouble and it feels uncontrollable. And that's probably very warranted and very true, but that is a story that you're telling around this particular area, right? And so it's actually really important to think about, what are you wanting to create instead? Because we're so often used to just focusing on what we don't necessarily want or like, and then we want it to change. But the first step to the change is, we've got to shift our energy and our focus. So what would you actually love to create around this part of your body? Is it that you want this part of your body to be different, or do you just want to feel different about it? So maybe it's about journaling a little around, what would you love to be seeing or experiencing in your body or around this part of your body instead? That first of all is an important shift to focus on what you do want. Because when we're changing our story, and I talked about this in this week's class, it's not always about, like, this new story might not be, oh, I love my belly, I love my stomach, my stomach is so beautiful. That's going to be a bit of an extreme jump to try to believe that story. The story might be instead, and this is something just as a bit softer, is, I'm learning how to love and accept my belly, or I'm willing to learn how to love and accept my belly, or I'm practicing love and accepting my belly or my body just as it is. It's a little bit softer than I do love it. You can just start with, I'm willing to learn how to, I'm ready to learn how to, I'm going to practice learning how to love and accept this part of myself. That's just a little bit of an easier affirmation than going full into, I love my belly, I love my belly. And another part of you is like, no, you don't, no, you don't. So that can be something to work with. I'm big on the healing power of touch. And I've done this a lot, like, because I was trained in Reiki when I was young, which is just pretty much sending healing energy through your hands. And I used to Reiki my face, I'd Reiki my body, I'd Reiki any part of myself that I didn't love and that I was struggling with. And you might even just spend some time each day connecting with this part of your body, sending it some love. Maybe, you know, I know I mentioned in the first class about doing a breast massage. You might do a breast and belly massage every day, just as a way to connect with that part of your body. You don't have to be loving it right away, but just connecting with it, just seeing if you can touch it and just send it some love and some gentleness and some kindness and some acceptance. Just acceptance is just allowing it to be as it is. Just for that moment, dropping whatever story is going on that's making it wrong. Because why really is that part of your body wrong? there's actually really nothing wrong with wherever your body is at right now. It's only the story you're telling about it being wrong, which is maybe based on what you've seen around what a belly should look like or how you think it should be. But actually, maybe just how it is in this moment is how it's meant to be. And that's acceptance, is just letting it be in this moment. Like, why is it that I think it does have to be different? Could I just let it be how it is just for this moment and just experience the relief of, oh, my body's okay. Like, it's just okay how it is. There's nothing wrong with it right now. Beautiful. I'm glad this is resonating, ladies. I can see you agreeing with me here. So that's something as well to practice. So the first step maybe isn't trying to love it. Maybe it's just trying to allow it and accept it and drop some of those stories that make it wrong and the comparison or the image you have in your mind of what your belly should look like in order for it to be lovable. Yeah, because we often do that. You know, I for a long time had this image in my mind of what my body needed to look like. And then you realize maybe my body's never going to look like that. Maybe that's not what my body's meant to look like. And maybe my work is to realize my body's different to other people's and it's never, it, you know, this is maybe what my body's natural state is. But if you do feel that for whatever reason you're carrying extra weight in a part of your body and maybe that weight isn't supposed to be there, again, communicate with that part of your body. Now, weight is often protection. From a mind-body perspective, weight is often protection. Not always, but it can be. So sometimes we are carrying weight as a way to protect ourselves. Sometimes it allows us to not be as visible. It allows us to hide. It allows us to avoid things. This is, you know, sometimes I know for my skin, when my skin was breaking out, I would use it as a reason to not be visible. I would use it as a reason to hide and stay safe and not connect and not put myself out there. So it actually protected me. So sometimes we need to inquire into, why might I have manifested this? Is it protecting me in some way? What purpose might it be serving? Or what is my body trying to tell me through this? Why is my body holding onto weight in this area? And actually seeing if you can listen to your body and what it's trying to tell you. Again, for this woman, if you notice it started at age 5, go back to what was happening in your life and to that little girl at age 5 that might have made her feel like she needed to hold on the weight or might have made her pick up a message about her body. I would go back to that and talk with her and do some healing there. That's what I would encourage around that as well. All right, loves, I'm being told my internet connection is unstable. Can you just let me know if at any point you can't hear me or see me? Just want to make sure that everything is looking clear. All right, another question. This is all tying in so beautifully together. This woman's saying she's struggling to believe the things she's telling herself, so the positive things that she's telling herself. You know, when we start practicing affirmations and doing these things, we're like, I don't really feel it, right? And then she's also saying here that even though I'm doing all this self-care and self-love work, I feel like my body's not responding. I look in the mirror and I still feel shame and disgust about what I see. I feel like I've lost control and connection with my body. I try to tune in and ask what my body needs, and then I return to my health practices, but it feels like it's not enough. It feels like my body is failing me and I don't understand why. She says every day she's doing things like healthy eating, yoga supplements, twice daily meditation, positive affirmations, but I still just feel like I'm going through the motions. Okay. So first of all, I just want to acknowledge this woman, because you're actually taking a lot of really beautiful, loving steps. Everything that you said you're doing is incredibly loving and nourishing and extreme self-care and self-love. So well done for actually making that time for yourself. And it's important for us to acknowledge what we are doing. You know, so often we're focusing on what we're not doing and where we're not doing enough. But make sure you're really acknowledging what you are doing, because it sounds like you are doing a lot. There's a few things here. One thing I want to touch on is it's important, and I've been mentioning this, it's important to look at what is driving your action, because it's not always just about the action. because we may feel like we're going through the motions. Oh, I'm ticking off all the things I should be doing for self-love and self-care. But what's driving that? And that's often looking at what is the energy behind it. Because sometimes, and I don't know for this particular woman, but sometimes what is driving our action is need, is should, is fear. We're doing all this stuff because we think we need to, we think we have to, or we think it's going to help fix what we think is wrong with us, or we're afraid that if we won't do it, we will fall apart. So that's actually one thing to look at. If you feel like your action isn't giving you the results you want, really look at what is the motivator behind the action. Why are you doing it? What is driving it? And ultimately, we want all our action to come from a place of self-love, self-care, inspiration. We're doing it because it feels good. We're doing it because we want to do it. We're doing it because it nourishes us. And that will help you really feel more of what you want to feel around it, is if it's really coming from that right place. That's something to look at. You know, the alignment and the feeling place behind the action you're taking is more important than the action itself. So looking at, is there really that loving intent behind it? And if there is, stay really connected to that loving intent as you're taking the action so that that love is being infused into it. If at the moment it feels a bit like going through the motions, then mix it up. Maybe ditch some of your old self-care practices and bring in some different ones so that it can feel like a bit more variety and you can feel more present and more connected to it rather than just something that's a routine. Maybe try mixing it up and doing different things and actually feel into your body what feels really good to you. There's an interesting thing here around control. Control came up in her question, and I want to talk about control because I spent so many years trying to get control of my body. I had an eating disorder for about 6 years. I was always worried about my skin and what would break my skin out. So I was really funny about what I would eat and about my weight and about everything. And it almost felt like no matter how much I tried to control my body, I could never get in control of my body. And it was like soap between your hands, you know, like the harder you grip, the more it just wants to slip out. Like I just felt like the more I would try to control it, the harder it was to control. What's happened to me and what's been really, really interesting, and I don't exactly know how I've got here, but it's like the less I focus on my body, the more imbalanced my body is. My skin doesn't break out anymore. And I don't really even know how that sort of stopped. But it's like I just don't focus on it. I don't look at it. I don't wait to see if I'm going to have a breakout. It's almost like the more that I've taken my attention off that area, I've just given room now for my body to naturally come into alignment. It's like all my focus on what I was afraid to see every day was just continuing to manifest it. Same with my weight. I mean, this whole trip that I've been in Bali, I've been eating sugar, dairy, gluten. I haven't been sleeping that well. All the stuff that typically would either make me put on weight or make my skin break out. And neither of those things have happened because I'm honestly just in a state of joy. And even if I am eating something like hot chips or chocolate or whatever I'm doing, I'm in a state of pleasure and joy around it. So I'm in a state of alignment. I'm happy and I'm enjoying it. And I'm finding that when I'm not activating that old story, when I'm not trying to control something, I can trust my body that it is just naturally going to balance out. That has just happened. And I know that's a scary process because control makes us feel really safe. But I have found that the less I try to control my body, the more balanced it becomes. And the more, Orn has said here, joy brings the cortisol levels down. That's a beautiful point. I mean, stress places immense pressure on our body. And actually, the more that we're just in joy and ease and flow with everything that we're doing, yeah, the healthier and more balanced the body is. Beautiful. Because cortisol does cause you to hold on to weight, doesn't it? Makes your skin break out, does all that stuff. Joe Dispenza is another phenomenal person to read. His work, his book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, is amazing. It's all about reprogramming your mind and reprogramming your habits and actually building a whole new identity. So that could be a really great book to read as well. But this woman sort of asked, you know, do you just sort of fake it till you make it? And to some extent, yes, because I mean, how else do we really start to form a new belief system? Because what actually happens is all the proof and evidence you're wanting to create to help you believe that something's true can only come as a reflection of you already holding that belief. So you'll only see what you believe. So you sort of have to start to believe it and focus on it and tell it to yourself enough so that eventually the world around you starts to reflect what you're feeling and then manifest the evidence you need to really, really believe it. Because for most of us, we only believe it when we get evidence and proof. So it's much easier to believe your old belief systems because you have a whole lot of evidence and proof around you to prove to you that they're true. It's much harder to believe something that you don't have proof and evidence around. But that proof and evidence can only come when you hold the vibration long enough that you've manifested proof and evidence about it. I hope that makes sense. this is a big part of, Kirsty's saying, love that. This is a big part of what Abraham Hicks teaches. This is a big part of what core manifestation principles are about. Wayne Dyer wrote a book that I think was called You'll See It When You Believe It, something like that. because the world and what you see with your eyes is a reflection of you. So you actually have to change your energetic and emotional state first, then things around you will shift. And you'll see the proof or evidence that will help you believe it. So that's where the inner work is that's tough. This is where the work is that even if you don't really believe it yet, you have to keep practicing it. Yes, Shauna, Louise Hay book, You Can Heal Your Life, correct. That's the book to read. At the back of the book, she has this whole big chunk on the mind-body connection, and she'll list every physical condition that you might manifest from cancer to conjunctivitis to athlete's foot to colitis, and she will give you affirmations to work on based on what the emotional cause is of those conditions. Really cool book, bestseller. So yes, you might have to work on creating feelings of love and wellness and health within yourself before you really see a change in your body. And that's why focusing on what is going well, practicing appreciation and gratitude, showing love to your body wherever you can is valuable. We don't want to wait for our body to change before we feel those feelings. You're going to be waiting a really long time. Unless, of course, you really go into controlling your body, because that's what I did through an eating disorder. I controlled my body so it would look a certain way so I could feel how I wanted to feel. But we all know where that ends up leading us. It's not a healthy path and it's not sustainable. So we want to work the other way. We create the feelings within ourselves first, then everything starts to shift to reflect the different feelings that we're embodying. This is a really great question around trusting our body. How do we know? So trusting, I talked in the class about trusting what we feel, trusting our feelings on things. Someone said, how do we know when it's something that we should avoid based on that feeling? We get that discomfort, that clamming up, whatever it is. And how do we know if that's our body saying don't do it, or if it's just something that's uncomfortable that we still really have to show up for? And she's given the examples here of, a confronting situation or having to do her study, for example. It's a really, really good question. So, I completely relate to this. There's a lot of things that my body says no to that I still have to do, like my taxes, like showing up for different commitments that I have. But there's a few ways I work with this, and let me just share with you the things that I do. So first of all, you just want to make sure that you are listening to your body. So if you notice any uncomfortable sensation, I like to sit with my body and just listen and just check in on what's going on. Because there'll be kind of two things you can do around it. If you really listen and your body has a lot of discomfort around something, what you need to sort of decipher is this my body trying to tell me that maybe this isn't something right for me to do? I need to say no here. I need to put in a boundary. I need to pull myself out of the situation. Some examples with this is, my body always clams up around my tacks. And I know it's because it's not something that brings me joy. But really what my body's telling me is, Connie, it's time for you to outsource that area and actually get a bookkeeper properly managing it, because you know it's not an area that brings you joy. Or say I've created a program in my business that every time I go to work on it or run it, my body clams up. And I probably still have to show up for it because I've committed to running it, but I get to understand, oh, my body's telling me that this type of course, we probably won't run this again. It's really not what brings me joy. So there's information you can get from it. And it's important just to unpack that and be like, what's my body trying to tell me here about this? Or, you know, I've committed to meeting up with that person. My body's saying I really don't want to go, but, you know, I've made the commitment to I'm going to go, but in future I'll understand my body says I really don't like this person. So that's one way to look at it. You can really see actually that maybe, you know, in future you're not going to put yourself in these situations. However, there are things that sometimes just need to get done. We've all got that stuff and we can't just be like, I don't feel like it. You know, a woman in my other course, she's so great. She's a lawyer and she said, Connie, I can't really just go to the judge at court and say, I don't feel like showing up today. You know, you just can't really do that. So we've all got things we've got to show up for. But still listen into your body anyway, just so that you can really be paying attention to it and ensure you're acknowledging what's going on. And sometimes, yeah, you will have resistance. Sometimes you just can't be bothered doing something. Sometimes you don't want to do something. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But just listen and get the information from your body around what it's trying to tell you around that, which is maybe like, yeah, it's just showing you this isn't something that really lights you up. And that's a useful piece of information. You'll learn something about yourself through that. Or I know for me with a difficult conversation, sometimes what I do is I'm like, oh, this is showing me that I'm actually afraid. You know, I'm afraid maybe to hurt someone's feelings, or I'm afraid to be rejected, or I'm afraid to ask for what I want or need. You want to understand why it is you feel uncomfortable, because that's just really useful to understand that about yourself. I know for me, sometimes I will run a workshop and have to show up and do public speaking, and it will feel uncomfortable in my body. And that's not my body saying, don't do public speaking. That's my body saying like, wow, I'm afraid and I'm nervous because I really care about this and I want to do a really good job. So if you can actually just understand what the sensation is, then that's really useful. I find that's what I usually like to do. And then from there, it will let me know, okay, do I need to learn how to love and support myself through this? Because I've still got to show up for it. But, you know, how can I practice some self-care? How can I make this more enjoyable with my tacks? How can I just maybe play some music and make a yummy meal and make this fun rather than it having to be really draining? Or how can I love and support myself through the fact that I've got to get outside of my comfort zone here, for example? I hope that's making sense. So this is where you get the mind and body working together, because it's not always just about only doing what the body wants, because like I said, we all have things we have to show up for. But just still listen to the body, still see if you can unpack and uncover what the body's trying to tell you in this situation, and then figure out how to support yourself in that situation, either by in future just not doing that stuff again if you know it's not right for you, or how can you make this as more, you know, make this more easeful and enjoyable if you still have to do it. All right. Let me have some water. All right. Final questions coming through here, a little bit off the topic of this week's class, but I'm still happy to dive into them because all those other ones kind of tied together really, really well. So I hope that's been supportive sort of what I've been able to bring together in those for you. I've got mascara under my eye. And I've got this little bug flying around me. All right. This question's about how can I allow the mood of others to affect me less? Because she has codependent tendencies and a fear of abandonment. So she'll often, this is sort of people pleasing. I will do what other people want and try to be and say what other people want because I'm afraid they'll leave me. And I've done so much work around this and invested a lot around it, but it's still a struggle. This is really, really interesting. So I have a fear of abandonment as well. I have a fear of people leaving me. Sorry, I've got kids in the pool outside, so you might hear them at some point. And I have codependent tendencies in relationships too. And this is something that I've really been exploring, is we've really got to keep focusing on what it is that brings us joy in ourselves, that brings us good feelings, love, happiness, all that stuff in ourselves outside of that relationship. I had a really interesting realization around this, because you obviously know I'm in Bali at the moment, and before flying out, I was getting in a real codependent place with this person that I was dating, and I was noticing that I was just feeling really bored with my life, and my highlight of my life was him. And everything was about when I would next see him. So I was putting a lot of pressure on when I would see him and needing a lot from him and feeling really anxious around when I would see him, because it was almost like he was the only source of my happiness and joy. And I wasn't doing enough to really ensure there was a lot of things going on in my life that were making me happy, because you want to be in a place where even if that relationship left, even if that person left, even if they did abandon you and reject you, you would still be okay because you have so many other things in your life that fulfill you. They're just one thing. They're just the icing on the cake. They're just one piece of the puzzle. They're not the whole cake or the whole puzzle. You really want to get to a place where, okay, I would be sad, I would be devastated if this person left my life, but I'd still be okay because I've got a career that fulfills me. I've got beautiful friendships. I've got amazing hobbies. I've got a purpose. I've got self-care that fills me up. All these different areas of life. So that's something to look at. And this was a really big realization for me, because I have been so happy since being in Bali that I haven't needed anything from him. I mean, him and I have been talking every couple of days on video chat, and I'm like still really, really connected to him, but I have felt none of that neediness, none of that anxiety, none of that fear around him, because I've been so happy. I've been with my family. I've been doing things I love. I've been traveling. I've been focusing on my work, and I'm so full. So that's a big thing to look at, is make sure that you are still really focusing on yourself and you know what makes you happy outside of that relationship, and that you're making time for those things. And make sure you have those practices that constantly are bringing you back into your own energy. We spoke about doing that a bit in the first class. The other thing I noticed, I was learning a lot about this in my relationship, is that I was always jealous of the guy that I was dating, because it felt like he was always out having fun, and I wanted him to have fun with me and to go on adventures with me. And he was always off just doing his own thing. He works in a really fun industry, and I was always jealous. And what I realized was I was craving more fun in my life, and I was putting pressure on him to be the source of my fun. And I was putting pressure on him to have to do fun things with me. Versus, no, Connie, if you want to experience more fun, you figure out how to bring that into your life. And I've had so much fun in Bali that I'm now like, awesome. When he's off having fun, I'm happy for him. When I'm off having fun, he's happy for me. And we're both filling ourselves up. You want two people coming together who are full, who are overflowing onto each other. Yeah, beautiful. Kelly says she can relate. If you're getting triggered by something in your relationship that you feel is missing, look at if you're putting pressure on that person to deliver it to you versus you realizing, oh, this is something I want to feel. Yeah, I can feel it in my partnership, but maybe I also need to go create it in my own life too. Big realizations for me. Beautiful. The other thing this person's asked is, how can I move through the fear around allowing money to flow in through my own career rather than men? So she's saying typically she's always been supported by partners her whole life and been financially dependent on them, and now she wants to be independent in her finances. So we'll talk a lot more about stuff like this when we get into classes around power, particularly our class on being in our power. We'll talk a lot about this, but just as a little touching point, write a new story about money. Because your old story at the moment is that it's, you know, even think about what is your current story around money. I've always been dependent on men. Men pay for me. I can't make my own money. Whatever your story is. See if you can write a new story, which is what you want to create and manifest. Explore maybe any limiting beliefs or inner blocks you have around whatever you believe you're capable of in that area. and get really honest about what might be holding you back, and then start small with small intentions. So rather than being like, right, my goal is to be 100% financially independent, making all my own money and never getting money from men, for example, start small with baby steps. Maybe you still do receive a bit of support, but maybe one day a week you're making your own money, or maybe you're bringing in $100 a week, whatever it is. I would start small, because we can overwhelm our nervous systems when we try to bring in this whole new thing all at once. And part of us rejects it because they're like, no, that's so foreign to what I currently believe about myself. So you need to drip feed in small things and just start small and be like, okay, my first intention is to be able to generate $100 a week myself, for example. Or my first goal is to have my own bank account, which I start putting in $50 a week to of my own money. Or my first goal is to believe that I'm actually capable of generating my own money. Or, get one day a week of my own work, for example, whatever it is. Anything you're wanting to change, you know, we can want to go to the extreme, but we just overwhelm our nervous systems if it's too different to what our current belief system is, and you'll end up sabotaging yourself. So I would start small. I'd write a new money story. I'd set some small attainable intentions and then start taking some new steps and celebrating every tiny thing. Anytime you make any of your own money, celebrate it, acknowledge it, and maybe, yes, set up a bank account where you can really see the money that you're accruing for yourself. And that will give you proof and evidence that will help you believe that you are capable of it, and then you'll manifest more of that. That was a full hour of nonstop talking. So, loves, that's all my questions answered. I've got a few minutes. Look at that. I did it all within an hour. How good's that? There's a few of you here with me live. So let me know in the comments box, has this resonated? What has been your biggest takeaway? What did you enjoy about that? What has really helped you from that? Or if you have any additional questions, I'll stay here for a few minutes and answer anything else that's come up. But I hope what I've shared on that with you today on that call, the questions are great. Thank you for everyone who sent through questions. I really appreciate it. Kelly says it's been great. Very relatable. I'm really glad. I always find in these courses, my loves, that you can think you're the only one working through something, or you can feel that your question's too specific. But I can always pull out themes that I know everyone will be able to relate to. Justine saying, I loved this. I'm just trying to read your comments. Oops, where's the comments box? Loved this. I'm excited to listen to my body some more and make some changes. Beautiful. I'm so glad. Claudia says, thank you. My pleasure, love. CJ, awesome. I got a lot out of what you were saying about being happy in yourself going into relationships. I found with my partner, I was like this at the start too, but then started giving my power away during the relationships in the past. It's been my biggest thing. And I was actually noticing in the lead up to coming away here that I was potentially going to be sabotaging it. I could really feel the pressure and expectation I was placing on him, and also how... there just wasn't enough other things going on in my life that were filling me up. And you know, it's actually unattractive to someone, because usually they come in and they see you happy and they're like, oh, I want to be a part of this person's life. And then you drop all that stuff and you just focus on them. And they're like, oh, hang on, now she feels needy and clingy. And that's not what made me attracted to her at the start. Kylie, I found this really interesting, making the distinction between what makes me happy versus what is fun for me. Interesting. The fun questions feel easier to answer and therefore easier to action. Nice. I'm glad. Yeah, interesting. What makes me happy versus what feels fun? And I mean, fun really, it brings an energy of joy. So, you know, different words resonate with all of us. Some of us, it's about happiness, or it's about fulfillment. It's about contentment. It's about joy. It's about aliveness. It's about fun. It's about play. I think we find whatever word or essence resonates with us the most, and whatever feels the easiest to action. Great, Kylie. Thank you. Janae, thank you so much. Love the reminder to have many sources from where I can find my joy and love. Yes, that seemed to resonate with a lot of you. That's been a big realization for me. And it's in everything. Even before this relationship, I had made my business my one source of everything. My business was meeting my needs for connection, for validation, for success, for abundance, for worth, feeling my worth. It was meeting all my needs. And so I was like obsessed with my business because it was like the one source of all of my feelings. Can you guys relate? So it's been really cool for me to be in this relationship and actually be like, okay, I've got to learn how to experience in a relationship with him, in my business, with my family, through travel, through my self-care practices, through my friendships, like all areas. Yes, sounds like you're really resonating with that. I'm really glad. And that's where you get to the point where you can say, where I could even say, okay, if my business fell apart, or if he broke up with me, or, you know, I had to leave my home, whatever it is. If you've got all areas being full and one, you lose one area, you know you're going to be okay because you got enough going on that you're still going to be good. But like, for example, with me, if like this guy was my everything, or if my business was my everything and you lose that one area, like you're effed. And that's why we get so afraid to lose things, because like we're desperately clinging to them as our one source of all our feelings, you know? And so then you can just be a lot more at ease around life. It's okay if sometimes things change or fall away because you know you've got enough going on in other areas too. Oh, and I'm learning that it's not just this or that, but it could be this and that. Yeah, nice. Yeah, and it should be, I think. That was a big lesson for me on around relationships because the past few years I wasn't really in a relationship and everything was about my business and I didn't believe that I could have my business and a relationship. And so coming into this year, things have fallen off a little with my business because I went a bit all into the relationship and I've kind of been like, shit, how do I be with him and my business, have my business? Now I'm learning how to have it all and travel at the same time, right? I can have it all. You can have every area thriving. And that's what we want. Beautiful, On can relate. That's what we want. Why not? There might be some adjustments sort of figuring that out, but you absolutely can. And that's really what it should be like. Really, really should. Yeah. We all feeling good? That was good. Thanks everyone for all your interaction and chats. I love talking with you all and connecting with you all. So as I mentioned you might have seen it on the video classes page, for some reason there is a block on Vimeo in Indonesia. I can't access Vimeo, just blocked. So this particular recording, I'll upload to Dropbox again today so you can all watch the recording, but I'm back in Australia. I fly out tonight. So in the next couple of days, I'll be able to get both this recording and our video class on Vimeo and embedded on the website. But for now, it will just be Dropbox because that's the only platform I can access from Indonesia, which is crazy to me. But anyway, that's what we're going to do. So thank you to everyone who's been here live. Thank you for all your interaction. It's been so nice talking with you all. Thank you, Kylie. Thank you, love. I'm doing an overnight flight. I have no idea how that's going to go. And my partner's like, I'll pick you up in the morning at 6 a.m. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to look like a mess. Haven't seen him in 3 weeks. So it'll be nice to see him. It's been a long time. Thanks, Janae. Thanks, Orn. Thanks, Kirsty. Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Kylie. She's like, I've done that one, that flight. I'm like, oh, dreading it. Brigida, thank you. Justine, thank you. Oh, Janae says I'm a beautiful queen. Thank you, love. Thank you, CJ. Big love to all of you beautiful women. We'll talk again soon. We've got our next call in 2 weeks. So just as you're working through the coursework, if stuff's coming up, just make note of it. And then you can always send me this through as a question. Thank you for being here, loves. I'll talk to you soon. Have a beautiful day or evening, wherever you are. And just keep coming into the Facebook group and sharing your experiences and connecting with everyone else in this community. All right. Lots of love, everyone. Bye. Oh, how do I log off?